6 minutes now past 2 o'clock this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of June. Time now for Birthday Boy, David Corsi, on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz. Happy birthday, David.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all of the good wishes. 20 years ago, on the occasion of my 30th birthday, and this may be why I remember it so well. Two things happened. It was about the time that the Ayatollah Khomeini died. That, for Americans, was a cause for some celebration. But in another part of the world, the communist Chinese, showing that they would do anything to remain in power, quashed a demonstration by students in Tiananmen Square, and across Beijing, according to reports, eyewitness reports at the time, killed more than 1,000 unarmed Chinese civilians who were protesting. What you're about to hear, and you will need to turn up your radio just a little bit, and you will have to listen carefully, and I apologize to those of you who are in cars, is a man who, for the words that you're about to hear, spoken on Radio Beijing, on the international service, during the massacre and just after, has spent the last 20 years in jail. Many others were penalized. He may be the lucky one, one of the lucky ones, who merely is in jail. Listen now to a broadcast recorded live off the air, which is why the quality isn't perfect, from Radio Beijing.
This is Radio Beijing. Please remember June the 3rd, 1989. The most tragic event happened in the Chinese capital, Beijing. Thousands of people, most of them innocent civilians, were killed by fully armed soldiers when they forced their way into the city. Among the killed are our colleagues at Radio Beijing. The soldiers were riding on armored vehicles and used machine guns against thousands of local residents and students who tried to block their way. When the army convoys made a breakthrough, soldiers continued to spray their bullets indiscriminately at crowds in the street. Eyewitnesses say some armored vehicles even crossed foot soldiers who hesitated in front of the resisting civilians. Radio Beijing English Department deeply mourns those tied in a tragic incident and appeals to all its listeners to join our protest for the gross violation of human rights and the most barbarous suppression of the people. Because of the abnormal situation here in Beijing, there are no other news we could bring you. We sincerely ask for your understanding and thank you for joining us at this most tragic moment.
Radio Beijing's broadcast describing the Tiananmen Square massacre and also noting that the massacre occurred throughout the city as troops retook the city and retook the square. The news editor, who didn't stop the broadcast, went to a Communist Party retraining camp for several years, according to a former Radio Peking Beijing staff member who provided that tape to me. And the announcer you heard remains in jail. Today on the program, we're going to talk about, number one, the massive lockdown that is China 20 years afterwards, the information lockdown. I'm going to let you hear what radio jamming sounds like as the United States, the United Kingdom, and other nations try to broadcast the truth to China. And maybe we'll talk about some of our own internet companies who are China's willing accomplices in stopping freedom of speech and freedom of expression. Joining me now by telephone from Enid, Oklahoma, is an expert on international broadcasting of many years standing. Glenn Hauser, welcome to KSCO. And I do not hear Glenn.
Hello.
There we go, Glenn. Sometimes
I can barely hear you if you could turn up the volume on my phone.
I don't think there is much I can do about that, and you're not the first person who has said it. We will add that to the discrepancy list. Now, Glenn, tell us a little bit about your background and how you became interested and became one of the, I guess, the world's preeminent authorities on international shortwave broadcasting today.
Well, I got hooked on picking up distant radio stations as a child, and I've never been able to kick it. Not only radio, but TV. It's sort of a mixed hobby with an avocation with more or less what I do all the time.
So explain to me a little bit about the broadcasting situation in and to China today. Because I think people remember Radio Free Europe as the West, the CIA, the American government's way to broadcast a mix of truthful news and I guess some propaganda behind the Iron Curtain, but they don't realize that when the Iron Curtain fell, that information gulf didn't just go away. It still exists in some parts of Europe and certainly exists in parts of Asia that are suddenly very important to us.
Yes, indeed. The U.S. still has a number of subsidiary broadcasters which concentrate on different parts of the world. Now it's Radio Free Asia, as well as the Voice of America. They're sort of duplicating efforts and fighting over resources to do more or less the same thing. They're both broadcasting into China in Mandarin and some of the other dialects, although they usually are at different times, so they're somewhat coordinated. And, of course, the Chinese jam all this, trying to keep all those broadcasts from being heard.
And we have an example that was recorded this morning, our local time in California, 1:45 local time in Taiwan. This is Radio Free Asia. And the voice you hear is Radio Free Asia. And the music and the effects that you hear are China intentionally trying to interfere with the broadcast. You know, how long would somebody listen to that? Well, that's the idea, that you won't listen to the Voice of America. You won't listen to the BBC's broadcast in China. You won't listen to Radio Free Asia. You won't listen. I mean, who all is being jammed today? Because the Chinese have gone into overdrive, have they not?
Yes, because of the anniversary, they've really stepped it up, although it's always pretty bad and pretty thorough. There are multiple frequencies used for each of these services, but they jam every one of them, at least that they can find, and they've gotten pretty adept at it.
And here is another. This is an example of how it doesn't work. It isn't perfect, and sometimes some of these broadcasts, because we spend lots of money on them, actually do get through. That is the program. And again, that is shortwave, not the best quality, because shortwave often isn't of the best quality, but it shows that sometimes the broadcast can get in as well. In this day and time, you also follow the electronic media, I know, Glenn. How important do you think this level of information control really is to the Chinese government? To, again, let's walk through the countries that are involved in jamming and intentionally broadcasting over music, static, noises in order to keep these broadcasts out. There's Cuba. There is Iran. There is North Korea. There are, I gather, some of the former Soviet republics. Is that true?
I don't think there's much of that. Some of the languages spoken there, like Uzbek, are also spoken in parts of China, so the Chinese take care of those too.
Okay, so some of those broadcasts get covered by the Chinese, as do broadcasts from the Falun Gong religious group, Tibetan minorities. If you're not an officially approved, you know, China loves you kind of broadcaster, you're getting jammed right now, including some that are not usually jammed. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not sure what you mean by usually.
Well, I mean, stations that have been in the past not jammed, that with the 20th anniversary are being jammed today.
I'm not really sure about that. There are a number of religious broadcasts, Christian broadcasts, going into China, which normally they ignore. I guess they don't think they matter that much, at least if they're really non-political. And I have heard some jamming on some of those, but I'm not really sure whether it was intentional or whether they just heard something in Chinese and figured they'd jam it to be safe.
And there is more jamming today than there has been?
You mean from China in particular?
From China in particular.
Well, this is something that's very hard to measure. Whenever there's a frequency of one of these stations they want to block, they'll put a jammer on it. And if those stations add more frequencies, there'll be more jammers. They seem to be an unlimited supply of transmitters in China to do this. But as far as actually quantifying it, that's rather difficult to keep track of absolutely everything and how many hours and frequency hours are involved. But I can tell you there's plenty of it. You tune around the shortwave bands, and you'll hear Firedrake, which we may get into, which is one type of jamming, or just broadcasting one of their regular domestic services on the same frequencies, which I think is the examples you've played so far. Find those all over the place.
I'm trying to get, here is a particular example of Chinese jamming. Let's click on this. This is described as Chinese lyric multi-echo jamming recorded back in Asia. That is something else that the Chinese do in order to block international broadcasts. There is also, and I'm looking for my Firedrake tape here. Tell me, well, I find it. Tell me what Firedrake jamming is, because that does seem to be the most common jamming coming out of China today. Isn't that true?
No, there's a lot of the echo jamming you were just playing. That's the main Chinese domestic program, as far as we can tell, which they simply, either by some delay in the transmitter or with multiple transmitters which aren't synchronized, they put on to jam. The Firedrake, on the other hand, is continuous music. There are no announcements. It's very raucous, lively Chinese folk music, which was originally recorded by an orchestra in Hong Kong. But they've taken this recording and used it as jamming mainly against the Sound of Hope, which is the Falun Gong transmission, but not always just against them.
And this is what it sounds like. So that is what a particular kind of Chinese jamming sounds like. Yep. That's as much jamming as we're going to make people listen to today, although there are some incredibly raucous noises. Now, we spend lots of money to broadcast to China in Chinese languages to try to tell them both a mix of the way the world sees China and what the world hears from China that is not reported to the Chinese people. I presume there is, I'm not sure propaganda is the right word or American content or exactly how you should describe it, but I'm sure we present our side of the story when we want to. Is this effective? Is it worth the money, do you think, that we're spending on it?
It's kind of hard to justify. I don't think we're doing enough to counter the jamming, either diplomatically to somehow get them to reduce it or even stop it, or by technical means, such as hopping frequencies. All the U.S. transmissions are on well-known and listed frequencies in the registers. And in fact, the Chinese and the U.S. both participate in an organization which coordinates frequencies. That's to avoid interference. But the Chinese, thus, know exactly what times and frequencies all our transmissions are on. And if they do change, they know about the changes. So all they have to do is look it up, keep up with the records, and block them. Now, one way around that would be for our broadcasters to have a perhaps a nominal schedule, but then bump the frequencies up or down 5 or 10 kilohertz without notice. Now, the listeners may be able to follow this and hear some of them in the clear before the jammers catch up with them. That's a technique that has been used by other jammed services in the past, but we don't seem to be doing it currently.
And the United States has also, over the years, been actively dismantling its international shortwave broadcast capabilities, has it not?
Yes, but that's sort of a mixed bag. It's with shortwave, you're better off transmitting from a site not too far from the target area. So although we have closed down, for instance, the big transmitter facility in Delano, California, we still have numerous transmitters in the Far East, the Philippines, the Mariana Islands, and so forth. We even purchased time on transmitters in other friendly countries.
In a moment, I want to talk with my guest, Glenn Hauser, international broadcasting expert, about some other things that have been going on, Glenn. One of those being what's happened to the Voice of America, particularly in the last decade, in which what had been a fairly straightforward broadcaster was hacked apart, I guess is the best word, so that more propaganda services could be used to replace it. We'll talk about what has happened to international broadcasting from the United States and why it matters. Why does any of this matter? In an age in which we have so much media available to us, why am I on the radio today talking about shortwave, you know, beyond the Beijing reference, and we'll probably replay that Beijing broadcast in a few moments if you'd like to invite people to come hear it. I think for patriots everywhere, it's an important landmark in the risk people are willing to take in order to fight for their own liberty. I'm David Corsi, DC at KSCO.com, if you'd like to send me an email. Glenn Hauser is my guest, and he and I will be back right after this, 24 minutes after the hour.
Saturday is the 65th anniversary of D-Day, and guest host Alan Richmond, a well-known local broadcaster, will be filling in for MZ. His first guest will be Captain Ken Johnson, U.S. Navy Commander General of the Naval Order of the United States, who has just returned from France, where he attended the monument dedication at Omaha Beach. The second hour will feature Al Jardine, founding member of the Beach Boys. He'll share stories after nearly 50 years in the entertainment business. So join us this Saturday on the Saturday Special from 10 a.m. to noon with guest host Alan Richmond on your Drifting Through the Sands of Time radio station, AM 1080 KSCO.
Good news for chocolate lovers. True Chocolate is the guilt-free chocolate that goes way beyond the normal chocolate experience. It's made from the finest ingredients, including a diabetic-approved natural sweetener that helps create a long-lasting chocolate taste without sugars. True Chocolate is a functional food with a wow factor. It's all natural, contains no dairy, is vegetarian-friendly, and no added sugar, preservatives, or artificial sweeteners. It's rich in antioxidants and beneficial herbs, plus a healthy weight loss treat, too. True Chocolate is the chocolate treat that loves you back. Obey your temptation. On the web at TastyRadioStuff.com or call 831-429-2300. Again, TastyRadioStuff.com or 831-429-2300. Enjoy.
I'm Peter from User Friendly Computing, and we want to be your computer people. At User Friendly, we understand that computer problems mean business problems. We've been serving the Santa Cruz business community for over 16 years, and we're small business specialists. Wouldn't it be nice to never worry about computer problems again? Viruses, email, printing, network problems, whatever. With our proactive service contract, we offer priority service, internet content filtering, and 24/7 monitoring of all your computer systems, so we know about and fix your problems before they disrupt your important business. Shouldn't you be spending your time running your business instead of fussing with frustrating computer problems? Save your time and sanity by calling the computer experts today at 423-9653. That's our 24-hour service line at 423-9653. At User Friendly Computing, where we're small enough to know you, big enough to serve you.
This is Sylvia Panetta inviting you to tune in for the Panetta Institute Lecture Series on Monday, June 8th. In a discussion moderated by Frank Cessna, we'll talk about the War on Terror with General John Abizaid of the U.S. Central Command and David Ignatius, author and columnist. Where does the U.S. stand in the War on Terror and how should the administration proceed? We'll hear insight from a military and a civilian expert on this complex issue. For information, call 582-4200. Tune in for the Panetta Institute Lecture Series on Monday, June 8th at 7 p.m. on KSCO.
News Talk Radio for the Monterey Bay, KSCO.
Stations, 3 minutes to your next Fox News.
Well, what was working a moment ago is not working anymore, and boy, do I hate it when that happens. Glenn Hauser is with me from Enid, Oklahoma, an expert on international broadcasting. Glenn, I was about to play a little clip of Radio Free Europe, which I could play it a moment ago, and I can't play it anymore. Glenn, talk to me about what happened. Are the Bush administration, and maybe it's not the Bush administration, maybe this was going on before and I just didn't notice it, but talk to me a little bit about why we have a Voice of America and what's happened to that voice in the past X number of years.
Well, VOA was, of course, the original U.S. external, U.S. government external broadcasting service. And then there was Radio Free Europe and Radio Liberty during the Cold War. And the idea that you had to have a separate service, one of which was providing news about the U.S. primarily, and the other about the target country, because the countries had a controlled press.
And they called those surrogate broadcasters.
Right.
But if there had been a free broadcasting system in these Eastern European countries, that's what Radio Free Europe and, for the Soviet Union, Radio Liberty sought to be.
Yes, and they got a lot of well-deserved credit, I think, for helping bring down the Berlin Wall and the communism itself in Eastern Europe. But that idea has expanded to wherever there's a country we feel we have to provide a free press for. The administration, and I think it started in Clinton, but got much worse in the Bush administration, felt we had to set up a new surrogate broadcaster, and this took resources away from the Voice of America. So we have Radio Martí for Cuba. That's been going on a long while, and it's been quite controversial, both in Cuba and in the U.S.
And it is jammed,
as I said,
by
Radio Free
Cubans.
Asia, and there are several others for different parts of Asia.
And what has happened to the Voice of America over that time? Because it's been my sense that, particularly during the Bush years, there was an attempt to replace the Voice of America, which has a pretty clear charter to stay close to the facts, to present the American side, but to not be all that different than American media, except for, this is a VOA editorial expressing the views of the United States, and I never knew the United States had a view until I heard those things. But replacing those with more populist and propagandist, I guess, services that the administration could do whatever it wanted to with.
You know, the thing about these different services is they aren't under the same charter, the VOA charter. So they're not really committed to impartiality or accuracy or to avoid outright propaganda. And they take, as I said, resources away from VOA broadcast. It's little by little, certain languages, it all depends. A VOA language may be canceled because they're still broadcast in that language by one of these surrogate services.
Well, we also have this issue with shortwave being canceled because supposedly the Internet is able to provide that service, and then something happens.
Right. Shortwave is the one medium, aside from the jamming that you've demonstrated, that, but I say, should say despite the jamming, that has a chance of getting through. The Internet can be blocked. Well, there are ways around that, too, if you're savvy. But satellites can be blocked. But shortwave is a transmission that goes directly from the originator to an individual radio set. And furthermore, the nature of shortwave is that it hops in over a distance. So depending on how the jamming is set up, it can often overcome the jamming.
So shortwave, you believe, still has a place, particularly when you're dealing with, again, I'm going back to, I think, one of the former Soviet republics, where, yes, we used to have Internet programming available. Are we used to have, in fact, broadcasts on their national or some commercial radio stations, and all of those were cut off when they decided that America wasn't their friend one day?
Right. We should have mentioned that. Local relays usually on FM, sometimes AM. This is really the trend in international broadcasting. Not only U.S., but other countries like to have FM relays in the target country. Of course, much better sound, much more reliable, until the authorities decide they want to cut it off. And then what do you do? Well, if you have the resources, you go back to shortwave, at least temporarily. But, of course,
well,
by that time, there are fewer people
listeners
used to listening to shortwave or even having shortwave radios.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you tell your listeners you went to shortwave when you just disappeared? And it also leads to a certain amount of self-censorship in which, you know, you try to figure out where the line is and not cross that line except for a very good reason.
Right. There's another gatekeeper in there, and that's another thing you avoid if you just do your own broadcasting direct to the listener.
Do we believe that we reach anyone, do you think, in North Korea? Because I know in North Korea, and religious groups do this as well, you get a radio that will only listen to very specific government broadcasting frequencies, and some religious groups hand out radios that will only hear their broadcasts.
Right. I find that rather ironic. It's using the North Korean technique of fixed-tune radios.
Well, they're supposed to be easier to use.
well, yeah, but of course, if it's being given to you, I guess you can't complain too much if it only gets the station that gave it to you.
Does international broadcasting matter today outside of countries that lack free media? Does the BBC World Service, for example, you know, I'm going to answer my own question. I get most of my news from BBC World Service on a variety of ways, XM in the car, and the Internet, you know, at bedside or here on the Macintosh. So I probably listen to a couple of hours of the BBC every day, and that's where I get most of my news. So the World Service to me is, if anything, more important. But then I live in a place where I don't have to have shortwave anymore to hear it.
Yes, well, that's the way BBC wants it. They keep cutting off different parts of the world from the shortwave service, and they force you to listen by other means if you want to hear them at all.
Are you hopeful for international broadcasting, or are you pessimistic? Particularly in terms of our ability to insert truth into a closed society?
Well, yes, I'm hopeful. When there is a closed society, you should try to get the information in by as many different means as possible. I think too many shortwave or international broadcasters are getting ahead of things by cutting off shortwave and figuring they don't really need it anymore.
And they see it as an expense. They see it as an old technology. They don't see lots of receivers being purchased. On the other hand, those that are purchased, you know, go into thought leader kinds of hands, I would imagine.
Sorry, I missed your last comment.
Oh, yeah, and we have such a low telephone, it's easy. I was just saying that the shortwave radios that are sold today overseas, though they may be few in number, go into the hands of the kind of people that you would want to hear these broadcasts, into, you know, thought leaders and people who are doing things, you know, as actively as they can, risking their lives, perhaps, in
these
countries.
Yeah, the BBC, for one, makes no secret that they're really going after the relatively elite listener rather than the common listener. And, of course, like just about everything else today, guess where most shortwave radios are manufactured?
The People's Republic of China, Glenn?
Yeah, you got it. And these aren't just fixed-tune radios, but regular radios, the ones you're probably going to buy if you want one in this country.
We have a telephone call, 479-1080, if you'd like to talk to my guest, Glenn Hauser, a little bit about international broadcasting on this anniversary of the massacre in Beijing 20 years ago. We offer this as a bit of a memorial to the broadcasters and the others who were killed, are jailed, or are still in jail as a result of telling the truth on that terrible day. Thor in Monterey, thanks for calling.
Yes, happy birthday, Dave. This is Thor, N6FNP, and I just wanted to see what your guys' thoughts are on the threat that shortwave potentially faces from broadband over power line, BPL, internet technology. I'm not sure what the status is of that in the United States, but I know that's a definite potential threat to shortwave because of the frequencies that the power lines are modulated at. Can you guys comment on that?
Yeah, Glenn, do you want to explain BPL very quickly, or should I?
Well, why don't you go ahead?
The power companies, the big power companies, on a worldwide basis, would like to offer broadband internet connections that come into your home over your power lines. And in order to do that, they modulate the power lines, essentially, at radio frequencies, some of which can interfere with all kinds of radio transmissions, shortwave, amateur, public safety, just the whole gamut. Now, they say that all of these are controlled, or that they avoid frequencies that could be a problem or whatever, but there has been a lot of controversy that, you know, when you start putting radio frequencies on wires, and particularly frequencies that can be used for international broadcasting or international ham radio contacts, that, you know, a few of these systems badly managed, badly engineered, could create interference not just in a neighborhood, but transnationally, potentially.
The thing is, it depends on if you have a lobby to oppose this. Now, the amateur radio operators are pretty well organized, and they have opposed it and managed to keep it from spreading, at least for their own interests. There's a way of notching out certain frequencies, so a ham frequency may be okay, but a shortwave broadcasting frequency right next to it would suffer the interference because we listeners don't really have a lobby as organized as they do. However, it's really not catching on, although it keeps popping up in various places as at least a proposal. It's been tried in a number of U.S. cities, and not so much because of the interference objections, but just because it's inefficient and no one's really interested in it, and no one really needs it. It's not an efficient way to get broadband internet, except possibly in very rural areas where it would cost a lot to lay a fiber optic or whatever is needed. They already have power lines. So the time may come when in a certain rural area out in the middle of nowhere, you have a lot of this power line broadband interference if this is implemented.
Thor,
I hope that whole concept dies a miserable death.
Well, $7.2 billion of our stimulus money is supposed to take the internet to every nook and cranny of the United States. So we will see what happens.
Yeah, of course, there's always the other competing technologies which you already have in place, such as broadband over cable, DSL, and for the people that are really out in the rural, I think satellite would be a good option for them if they don't have the other options.
Those are certainly options. Thor, thank you very much for calling. I appreciate the phone call. Glenn, before we wrap up, why should someone in the United States of America be interested in shortwave? Do we need a shortwave radio, or should we just be interested in the broadcasters and find them on the Internet? Should you buy one of these Internet radios and use that? I mean, what's the attraction or benefit of shortwave broadcasting to Americans today?
Well, as I was saying, in the case of China and other countries where there are problems getting information through, there's really no substitute for having direct access on your own little radio to broadcast from all over the world. Yes, it's true, you can probably get them by one of those other means, and that's okay too. But shortwave is, let's say, an essential backup, and once you're listening to it, you may find you even enjoy listening to broadcast direct and not having to go through all these nodes.
Particularly if you can avoid all of the religious broadcasters.
Yes, well, that takes a little practice and a lot in some cases, because there are a lot of them, especially from the U.S., unfortunately.
And this gets, too inside shortwave, but I miss HCJB down in Quito, Ecuador, which was one of the first shortwave stations many of us heard. Well, I'm 50 now, and I started DXing, we call it, when I was 12. And back then, they were a religious broadcaster, but they were kind of a mainstream sort of Baptist, but, Billy Graham kind of a radio station. And, not the kinds of people, Gene Scott and Mrs. Gene Scott, those kinds of religious people who've taken over the shortwave airwaves.
Now, HCJB still exists, of course, although they're having to tear down most of their antennas because of a new airport going up in Ecuador. And they've diversified, too, by broadcasting from other places.
But they did cancel
their English broadcasts a few years ago.
And that's what I miss. Greg in Los Angeles, thank you for calling.
Yes, hello there, gentlemen. And Glenn, this is Greg, how you doing?
Greetings. Greg, I think you are.
Yes, this is Greg Hardison. I know we correspond from time to time. And I caught your emails and wanted to listen to a little bit of the show here. Just had a quick story to tell. First off, I could let you know that anybody who wants to know anything about what's going on in radio, I mean anything literally from communications to shortwave to garage door openers and effects of military communications, Glenn's website is the place to go.
WorldofRadio.org.
World of Radio, is it .org or .com? I type
both.
It in so automatically.
Either one will work.
Either one.
Either.
And just go to the main page, hit latest DX Listening Digest, and the news is all there right in front of you. And there is no more comprehensive source of news for, like I say, anything radio-related that I've ever found anywhere. So Glenn, got to really take my hat off to you for that. Just a quick little story. I know in talking about the Tiananmen Square situation 20 years ago, and if you have time for just a quick little radio tale, I was working in the newsroom at the time at KABC Radio in Los Angeles. And this, of course, was about 7 years before Disney made it a Mickey Mouse operation. And Saturday night, we were carrying the Los Angeles Dodgers, who spent that evening in a 22-inning game in Houston, Texas, that they lost. And I actually don't remember the score, but the game went for 22 innings, so obviously this was quite a long situation. I was slated to do a five-minute newscast at the end of the game, the end of the game package, and which normally would have come at about probably earlier than that. Since they were in Central Time, it would have come probably about 9:30 or 10 in the evening. Los Angeles time. And, of course, this game dragged on and on and on and on. And at the time, I know, with everybody who's, it may sound a little insiderish, but everybody who's worked with radio, you know that sometimes you don't have necessarily the most shall we say, stable personalities in positions of management. Am I right there?
Yeah, I would think so, yes. I've only had a gun pulled on me once, and that was at a 50,000-watt clear channel station, and we'll just leave it at that.
Yes. Okay. So you know exactly what I'm referring to there. And, of course, through hard-won experience. And I had one of those program directors at the time who actually was an excellent program director, but just not the best human being. And if an announcer went 5 minutes and 3 seconds on the newscast, which was slated for 5 minutes, then you were being yelled at for a good 10 or 15 minutes. So, you know, this is something that universally all of us were basically tired of at this point. And yet, you know, still obviously we run a very good outlet and at the time. And, you know, an important story was going off here. Well, one of our talk show hosts, a guy by the name of Bill Pearl, was sitting at home with a Collins R390A receiver, which, of course, for radio heads like myself and certainly you guys, you would know that that brings in full high-fidelity audio from just about anything that that it picks up in AM mode. And he had picked up the particular broadcast that we're talking about with the English language newscast and the sort of confession-type newscast that went on with that from Radio Beijing. He had picked that up with almost perfect reception and recorded it. And he had a hi-fi line coming from his home up to the radio station, so he called me up in the newsroom and said, hey, would you like to use this in your newscast? Listen to this. And, of course, that was the first time I had heard that particular tape, and I'm getting goosebumps right now as I think about it 20 years later. I mean, that was probably the most dramatic piece of actual live news event happening right now that I'd heard in my life before or since. And, of course, I thanked him profusely and figured out a way to write this into my newscast. And, you know, the details were emerging minute by minute, hour by hour, and it was hour by hour because this baseball game, meanwhile, kept dragging on and on and on. And just as I had everything pretty much melded to perfection and everything would fit in 5 minutes, 3 bells go off on the TV machine, which, of course, old hands will know that meant a bulletin. Ayatollah Khomeini had just died. Remember that?
Oh, yes.
That same night, tight West Coast time, as all that was going on, Ayatollah Khomeini was found to have passed away. So all of a sudden, I had a new lead story. This was less than 10 years after the hostage crisis, which was still very firmly in the minds of most Americans. And I had a new lead story, but I still had this piece of drama, pure human drama, coming from Tiananmen Square. And the punchline to the whole thing is that the game finally ended, and the newscast, I went on the newscast, went on the air with the newscast, everything went fine, went flawlessly. And as I recall, it was at 2:15 in the morning, and probably myself, the engineer, and maybe 3 or 4 drunks were listening, and that's it.
Greg, thank you for calling.
Had to get that off my chest.
I appreciate the story. I was in a similar situation. I was still involved in radio in Texas at the time, and I wasn't working that night, but I have a similar stories for other events. Greg, thank you very much for calling us, 479-1080. Glenn, you do follow AM, FM. A big topic with you is daylight. You don't call it savings time. You call it daylight shifting time. Give me your pitch against daylight shifting time very quickly.
Well, as the name implies, if you think you're saving time, you're not. You're not saving, or rather saving daylight. You're not saving it. There's no way to save it. All you can do is shift it from one part of the day to the other. And this causes all kinds of problems in scheduling, as anyone who listens to radio across the time zone boundary knows, especially international radio, or anyone who flies. So I think we should just leave the clocks like they are, and if we want more light in the evening, we should get up an hour earlier in the morning, which, of course, is what we're really doing by changing the clocks.
But we just don't change what time school starts. We could have summer schedule in which things move an hour earlier, and you go to work instead of at 9 o'clock in the morning, you go to work at 8 o'clock in the morning. The sun's in the exact same spot in the sky.
Right, it's just a different way of accomplishing the same thing.
What do you do in real life, if I may ask, before I let you go? I know you're a broadcaster or something.
Well, actually, I've been retired or self-employed, I'm not sure which, for a number of years. I was working for a number of radio stations, finally, mostly in public radio. But it's been a good many years since I decided I wanted to devote all my time to writing and listening and broadcasting on my own.
And your shortwave program, if you go to worldofradio.org, you will hear what is, and it's sad that this isn't the heyday of shortwave the way it was 30, 40 years ago. Although you've been doing the program now for, what, 30 years?
Almost.
Yes, you're at 1,600-something for the programs today.
No, it's only 1,463 currently this week.
Okay, 1,463. So 1,463 weeks ago, Glenn Hauser started the broadcast, which is heard on the Internet and is heard on real shortwave and on AM and FM and available as a podcast. And it is a wonderful public radio type in that it's supported by the listeners program. He also has a newsletter that comes out sometimes more often than weekly. All of this is available to you if you're interested for free at worldofradio.org or worldofradio.com. Glenn Hauser, thank you so very much for being with me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about international broadcasting, at least for a few moments, and maybe on my birthday, my listeners will forgive me a little bit of the indulgence, but it just seems like after playing, and I will play again, the Radio Beijing newscast, that people need to sort of understand where it came from and what China is still doing today to make sure that the truth is prevented from reaching its citizens. Glenn, thank you very much.
David, thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure. Thanks for inviting me, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Glenn Hauser, worldofradio.org. We'll take a break now. After the 3 o'clock news, I will play that Radio Beijing short newscast that sent a man to jail 20 years now for telling the truth about what happened in Tiananmen Square and elsewhere during the Tiananmen Square massacre, which was 20 years ago today. My name is David Corsi. This is KSCO. We're now at, we'll call it 6 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock, back after this.
If you have pests, we have answers. With over 70 years of experience protecting homes and property from pests, you can rest assured that the Pied Piper Exterminators is the best choice for you to protect your home, garden, or business. The Pied Piper will protect your property from ants, fleas, rats, roaches, spiders, ticks, and any other kind of critter that's bugging you. Family owned and with offices conveniently located, call on the Pied Piper today. For a free pest inspection and estimate, call 800-834-4034 or visit us on the web at thepiedpiper.com.
It's time to get down to business, and we've got the place to start. Hello, I'm Amy Ivey with Bay Federal Credit Union.
And I'm Tiffany Zachmeyer, also with Bay Federal. Tune in to KSCO each weekday during your morning and afternoon commute for Getting Down to Business, a program specifically designed for the local business owner.
You'll hear from experts like Teresa Tomei and her team at Central Coast Small Business Development Center, as well as from SCORE, Counselors to America's Small Business.
Learn how to attract and retain new customers, manage your cash flow, write a better business plan, get a loan, and other topics to help your business thrive.
And if you have a small business question, email it to info@ksco.com. That's info@ksco.com. Then listen for the answer on Tuesdays and Thursdays.
It's time to get down to business, and the best place to start is with SCORE, the SBDC, and KSCO every weekday morning and afternoon.
Brought to you as a public service by Bay Federal Credit Union.
Making a real difference for you.
Bay Federal Credit Union.
Do you want to use more environmentally friendly products that will still get the job done right, but don't know where to find them? If so, then you need to call Coast Paper and Supply Company at 831-423-3350.
Coast Paper and Supply has been the restaurant and janitorial supplier in Santa Cruz County since 1948.
We carry a growing assortment of environmentally friendly products, including cleaning supplies and biocompostable plates, bowls, and cutlery for your office break room or restaurant. We even have biocompostable options for takeout service. Coast Paper and Supply can also take care of all of your shipping and storage supply needs. Coast Paper and Supply is located at 151 Josephine Street, behind the Gateway Shopping Plaza off of River Street in Santa Cruz. Stop by between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday to check out the wide variety of environmentally conscious products we have available for your business. Or call us at 831-423-3350. Let Coast Paper and Supply Company be your partner in keeping your business green.
Hi, it's MZ, owner of KOMY AM 1340, with a hearty welcome to all of you new listeners to our Memories and Magic station. When we first learned that our friendly competitor station in Monterey had dropped its fabulous, long-established, and much-loved adult standards music format, well, we just could not keep ourselves from jumping on that format to keep the Memories and Magic flowing. Now, we've received an amazing number of thank yous for making this positive change, and the appreciative comments keep pouring in. I do have a request for you. The larger our audience, the easier it will be to continue to bring you this wonderful format and to tweak it to perfection. So please call, email, or otherwise contact everyone you know to tell them about Memories and Magic AM 1340 KOMY. Also, if you'd like to contact me with comments or suggestions, by all means send an email to mz@ksco.com. That's mz@ksco.com. Enjoy the Memories and Magic.
If someone should ask, tell them you heard it on AM 1080, KSCO.
Radio Free Europe, Radio Free Europe, Radio Free Europe.
To underwood the Jewish Mirdita.
That is a sign-on by a radio station that is like many that exist today, that broadcasts to places in the world where you can be jailed, where you could be executed for listening to a radio station or going to a website that your government doesn't approve. The things that we do on this radio station, I would bet every hour of every day, would get someone put in jail. It just never would happen in these countries. Radio Beijing, China Radio International. Today, the control rooms and the studios are protected by the army. Armed guards decide who gets to go in and who gets to stay out or has to stay out, because they want to make so damn sure that nothing is ever said on the radio that the government doesn't approve of. After the Fox News, I will rebroadcast the famous Radio Beijing Tiananmen Square Massacre newscast. Only lasts about a minute or two. Then we'll take your telephone calls about anything you would like to talk about. But you know, I just can't let this day pass, you know, without mourning the lives that are lost around the world, even today, by ordinary men and women who want nothing more than the freedoms that you and I can take for granted as a birthright of being an American. My name is David Corsi. My email address, dc@ksco.com. This is KSCO 1080 Santa Cruz at exactly 3 o'clock.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lori London. The 2009 model for GM and Chrysler dealers, uncertain. They're in Washington today venting their anguish to a Senate panel. Fox Radio's Mike Makowitz live on Capitol Hill.
The dealers say they're an asset to Chrysler and GM, not a liability.
There's absolutely no reason to close profitable dealerships which contribute to Chrysler's bottom line.
Texas Chrysler dealer Russell Watley says he's worried that he'll get stuck with cars and parts he can no longer sell. GM CEO Fritz Henderson says his company no longer has the heft to support a big dealer's network.
Strong new competitors have entered this country, and our market share has shrunk, leaving us with too many dealerships and, in many cases, in the wrong locations.
The executives say since the two companies plan to produce fewer vehicles, there just aren't enough to go around anymore. Lori?
Mike, add New Hampshire to the list of states allowing same-sex marriage. The governor just signing a bill making it the sixth state in the nation for gay couples to legally wed. A warm meeting in Saudi Arabia between President Obama and King Abdullah at his desert horse farm.
I thought it was very important to come to the place where Islam began and to seek His Majesty's counsel.
The two discussing a wide range of critical issues. Tomorrow it's off to Cairo, Egypt for a major speech to the Muslim world, where the president hopes he can break down some barriers.
I hope I can spark some dialogue and debate.
But the president noting one speech can't solve all the problems in the Middle East. Well, given the timing, the White House says it's not shocked Osama bin Laden released an audio recording threatening America.
I don't think it's surprising that al-Qaeda would want to shift attention away from the president's historic efforts.
White House spokesman Robert Gibbs. And NASA's gearing up for another liftoff. The space agency announcing Shuttle Endeavour will be ready for a June 13th flight to the International Space Station. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1983. President Ronald Reagan.
How they preach the supremacy of the state, declare its omnipotence over individual man, and predict its eventual domination of all peoples on the earth. They are the focus of evil in the modern world.
To ignore the great majority of the American public who enjoys rock music is just sheer stupidity.
We had a good supply, and Sunfield's closing now. We'll be with you in a minute.
That's great, Sally.
Our immediate challenge to this atrocity is to ensure that we make the skies safer and that we seek just compensation for the families of those who were killed.
Never again should a black or Hispanic or woman or Jew, because of race, religion, or sex, be limited or inhibited as we grow. The aristocracy is not the limit. The sky is the limit. Our time has come.
News as it happened then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
The Kansas abortion clinic run by a recently murdered doctor will stay shut for now.
One of the doctors at George Tiller's clinic had said it would reopen next Monday. Dr. Leroy Carhart said Tiller had set up a rotation schedule so work could go on despite whatever happened.
Dr. Tiller and I and our families and all the staff members and their families realize that we're targets, that we've taken this job knowing that we're targets.
But Tiller's attorneys released a statement saying it's unclear when the clinic will reopen. This clinic saw patients from all over the nation. Tiller was one of only a few who would perform late-term abortions. He was killed Sunday when an anti-abortion extremist allegedly shot him. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News Radio.
Investigators voicing doubts the flight data and cockpit recorders from Air France Flight 447 will ever be found. They could be as much as 4 miles under the Atlantic, the scene of the crash that killed 228 people. So far, no bodies recovered. Thrill of a lifetime for some D.C. high school students today.
Understand that you are responsible for your own experiences. So what I want you to do is own your voice. Own it.
First Lady Michelle Obama giving the commencement at Washington Mathematics Science Technology Public Charter School. President Reagan's place in history secured with a permanent home at the United States Capitol.
The statue is a wonderful likeness of Ronnie, and he would be so proud.
Tears in her eyes, Nancy Reagan, for the unveiling of the 7-foot-tall bronze figure.
The last time that I was in this room was for Ronnie's service. So it's nice to be back under happier circumstances.
For now, the statue will stay in the rotunda with 7 others. He's doing backflips with excitement. Cirque du Soleil founder Guy Liliberté set to become Canada's first space tourist when he travels on a Russian Soyuz spacecraft in September. I'm Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Your KSCO Central Coast weather, cloudy skies tonight with a chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Lows tonight expected in the lower 50s. Southwest winds around 10 miles per hour in the evening, becoming light. Tomorrow, cloudy, chance of showers and a slight chance of thunderstorms. Highs Thursday in the mid-60s. Light winds Thursday morning, becoming southwest around 5 miles per hour in the afternoon. Boaters forecast for Monterey Bay, southwest winds to 10 knots, becoming 5 knots after midnight. Wind waves 2 feet or less. Westerly swells 2 feet or less at 8 seconds. Chance of showers, slight chance of thunderstorms. 70 degrees the temperature at KSCO, 64 in Watsonville, 66 in Salinas, 60 degrees in Monterey. Highway Patrol reporting at 238, a traffic collision, no injuries. Highway 152 just west of Highway 156 in the Hollister-Gilroy area. A white Hyundai
on the right-hand shoulder. Highway Patrol on the scene. 6 minutes past 3 o'clock this Wednesday afternoon, the 3rd of June, as we return to David Corsi on AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz.
Thank you very much, Don. And I don't know, I've been a broadcaster, 35 years now, in one way or another. I always had a finger or a toe. I spent 15 years in daily radio overall. Would I have the guts, if my government were in the streets of my city, killing innocent people, would I have the guts to tell the story, to tell the truth to the entire world when the government very much didn't want that truth to be told? Here's a broadcast, I'm repeating it this hour, from 20 years ago today, Radio Beijing, what Radio Beijing said to the world in English about what has become known as the Tiananmen Square Massacre.
This is Radio Beijing. Please remember June the 3rd, 1989, when the most tragic event happened in the Chinese capital, Beijing. Thousands of people, most of them innocent civilians, were killed by fully armed soldiers when they forced their way into the city. Among the killed are our colleagues at Radio Beijing. The soldiers were riding on armored vehicles and used machine guns against thousands of local residents and students who tried to block their way. When the army convoys made a breakthrough, soldiers continued to spray their bullets indiscriminately at crowds in the street. Eyewitnesses say some armored vehicles even crushed foot soldiers who hesitated in front of the resisting civilians. Radio Beijing English Department deeply mourns those died in a tragic incident and appeals to all its listeners to join our protest for the gross violation of human rights and the most barbarous suppression of the people. Because of the abnormal situation here in Beijing, there are no other news we could bring you. We sincerely ask for your understanding and thank you for joining us at this most tragic moment.
Remember June 3rd, 1989. Changing topics completely.